All right, let's switch back to baseball. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Steve Phillips. Steve, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Our pleasure to have you. So the Jays against Cleveland, not good. Where are you on where they are at? Because it doesn't look that good, does it?
No, they're not playing very well right now. And, you know, they've been streaky, and so they'll look like world beaters for a couple weeks, and then they slip away, you know. And you know, you never really want to be a streaky team. I mean, the idea is play consistent baseball. But if you are going to be streaky, well, then just get hot at the end of the season. And, you know, this isn't the worst time to cool off a little bit. Mid-August, dog days of summer, you know, if you're going to struggle, they're still, I mean, listen, they're struggling and they're still the number one wild card team. That's a really good thing because they're going to get hot again. They're going to start to play better. The offense has to come around. And, you know, it just feels like whenever they're a little bit shorthanded, even by just one batter in the lineup, meaning George Springer, their offense sort of shuts down on them. And so, you know, they need other guys to step up, to pick up the slack. And, you know, when you're facing really good pitchers like they did against Cleveland, listen, Tristan McKenzie is a future star pitcher for them. We know that Shane Bieber's an ace. And Cal Quantrill's a solid pitcher. You know, if you don't, you're not going to put a bunch of singles together to score runs. And so you need to hit some home runs. And, you know, the game they won on Saturday, 2-1, you know, it was two solo home runs. But, you know, they need guys to step up and deliver. Vladdy, Bo Bichette, they need to pick up guys when Springer's not in the lineup. Because Whit Merrifield is more of a, you know, singles hitter, keep the line moving guy as opposed to a run producer. And they just didn't have it over the weekend.
Steve, is there any concern for you? Like, there's been a few times now where there's two on, two out, and someone who you really want at the dish is at the dish, and it's a ground out, and it's inning over. Like, are you concerned at all about the lack of, I guess, clutch hitting for the Jays?
Well, you know, I mean, they've had spurts where they've been in the same place they are now. They're not coming up with a big hit. And then they've had spurts where it just seems like everybody's hitting. It is contagious, and, you know, a lot depends upon how you feel. And when I see those early in the at-bat ground outs with runners in scoring position, to me, it's the hitter trying to do a little bit too much. You know, the lack of understanding that sometimes the first strike you see during an at-bat isn't going to be the best strike that you're going to see during an at-bat, and that the pitcher is the guy is the one who's in trouble. He's the one who should feel the pressure. And yet the Jays, because they haven't hit with runners in scoring position, they feel pressure that they have to deliver. And so, you know, it's a mindset when they got hot after the All-Star break or leading into it and then after. You know, they were aggressive early in the at-bat. Then they had patience. Then they waited it out. They took walks when they could get walks. And it wasn't guys over trying. And so, you know, and then once you lose a few, you think, okay, here we go again. And you fall into that same rhythm and routine. So, you know, it's... Look, they're streaky, and you know, next year they don't necessarily have to be the same streaky team as they mature, but, you know, it doesn't mean that they can't make a run to the playoffs and through the playoffs with this roster. They just, you know, they've got less margin for error. Timing matters a lot for this team as opposed to just consistency performing, but there's still a lot of talent on the roster.
George Springer back tonight. How vital is a healthy George Springer for this team?
Critical. You know, he's a table setter. He's a run producer. He's a personality. He's a veteran. He's a playoff guy. He's, you know, to me, it's a major loss when he's not in there. He's got a certain level of swagger to him without even trying to have it. You know, he'll play with reckless abandon in the outfield. I think everybody gets inspired by that. He'll come up to the plate and be aggressive. You know, and the key is just keeping him healthy and avoiding a catastrophic injury and losing him for a long period of time. So, you know, I suspect he's going to probably DH as much as they can, and just to maintain his bat, keep him in the lineup, and hope that he can't just be productive. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits a home run tonight. He's one of those guys that can miss a period of time, steps right in, and just hits. You know, and they need that presence. And, you know, when he walks up to lead it off, you know that the Blue Jays have arrived. And it's just a different feeling when he's not the guy leading off the game.
Do you think for George, he's still at the point where he's got to manage this injury day to day, a little bit of pain management, or do you think that time on the IL has helped clear things up for him?
Yeah, I don't think it's cleared up. This has been a nagging thing all season. You know, my experience is around these injuries that, you know, the least amount of pressure and torque they can put on him, the better. I don't see him throwing a lot from the outfield. And here's the thing. I think what they have to understand is, and it's a lot of like Bryce Harper did before he ended up shutting it down, is, you know, you have to accept he just can't throw. And
right.
it's going to cost you in some circumstances. Your infielders are going to have to get way out there on the relays to be able to protect his arm. But what you don't want is him making one throw in one inning in one game and costing him, you know, 20 days on the injury list. And so there's got to be that math that goes on in his head and with what John Schneider said to tell him, we need you, so you need to be really smart, and I will protect you if people are saying, well, geez, why didn't Springer make that throw or this throw? Don't worry about it. We need you in the lineup. I'll make sure that everybody knows what you can and cannot do. They don't want to profess it to the other team's third base coach, but the reality is they've got to do everything they can to keep in the lineup. And if that means that he can't play in the outfield, fine. If it means he can play but he can't throw, fine. But and so I think it's going to still have to be managed because as much pain he was in and doing, you know, even holding the bat up was painful. It doesn't heal itself in 10 days.
But we're talking about health and not driving in runs, but it wasn't a great trip through the starting rotation, was it?
No, it wasn't. And, you know, it's a bad luck for Gosman with the ball that fell in on Biggio and some CNI hits. And so I'm not overly concerned there. It's Jose Berríos, you know, and I wrote this for this last week, is that, you know, he is the most important pitcher for them in the last 2 months of the season. If they're going to make the playoffs, and I mean, it would take a catastrophic collapse for them not to. But if they're going to go anywhere, Berríos can't be a 2 2/3 inning clunker where the bullpen gets blown out in a playoff series. They just can't afford to do it. And look, if he's pitching game three and the series is split 1-1, he has to deliver for this team. I've talked about this, you know, on the channel. You know, for me, he throws it over the plate too much. You know, I want pitchers to throw strikes, but he tries to get hitters out with his stuff over the plate, and I would rather he work ahead early in the count by throwing it over the plate and then expand the strike zone. Start it on the plate and break it off the plate and try to get hitters out. Instead of starting his breaking ball off the plate and throwing it in the strike zone where it's hittable for the batter, I'd much rather he start it in the strike zone, break it off the plate. And you know, he is so wired to throw strikes. And his stuff just isn't quite good enough to get good hitters out in the strike zone. There's no shame in that. Most pitchers are that way. Most pitchers start in the strike zone, work ahead, first pitch strike's important, and then expand the zone to get hitters to chase, make it look like it's going to be a strike, and then break it out, you know, out of the zone and get him to swing over the top of it. And so, you know, I think he's fixable. I think a lot of it's mental for him right now. Pete Walker's one of the best in the business, but I think Jose Berríos is the most important. The bullpen was actually pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, you know, other than Thornton giving up a couple runs, I think they went, 13 2/3 innings, not giving up any runs, you know, over the last few games. And so, you know, look, they're not playing great. They're not playing awful. They're going to be all right. But, you know, right now they've got to start fine-tuning what their playoff game would look like.
Chatting with Steve Phillips, TSN MLB analyst. Steve, what do you make of this Fernando Tatis Jr. suspension? 80 games for PEDs. His excuse was he used a medication for ringworm. Are you buying that? Like, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, even if he's, it doesn't matter, right? It's still a violation, and he should know better. His dad played in the big leagues. There's enough education for players out there. Usually, if a player on a team has ringworm, and it happens in clubhouses and that, I've seen that before, heard about, you know, guys getting it, then trainers are able to treat it with approved medications. The idea that he would try to self-treat anything like that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You've got doctors, you've got trainers to be able to do it. That being said, we've seen other guys who have tried to treat themselves, and they don't recognize that what they're using is in violation of the drug policy. But here's the thing, you've got to know better than that. But this is devastating. It's not just devastating for the Padres to lose Fernando Tatis Jr., and it is. But it's devastating for baseball. This is one of our young superstars. I mean, this guy is a rock star, with what he is on the field, his talent level, his personality, his looks. Like, he's an elite superstar. And for that level of a superstar to violate this rule is so sad for the game and devastating that I think it's more far-reaching than what it just does to the Padres. And I think for the Padres, it's more than just not getting his bat back in the lineup. I think there's a it tears apart the fabric and structure of a team when this sort of thing happens. When your most predictable guy does something that seems very unpredictable, it calls everything into question. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Padres do to rally with each other to try to figure out how they piece this together moving forward.
Yeah, so put on your GM's hat. If you're the GM of the Padres and you've emptied the cabinets to get Soto in there and you're expecting Tatis Jr. to come back and then you get this, how do you manage that?
Well, the message to the players is, listen, you know, we're going to, one, I would not be, I'll be forgiving, but I would also be stern and make it a lesson that, you know, and sometimes players only learn lessons when it applies to them. They don't seem to learn lessons very well when it happens to somebody else. But I would do all I can to reinforce to everybody, here's a lesson learned right here. And do not ever let this happen again to any of you. And look out for each other to make sure that if any of you are looking to make decisions, that you're talking to each other first so that you get the proper direction and help that you need. Then I would say we're good enough to be a wild card team without them. We still have the same roster of talent that we had then. We're not any worse than we were. We've got Soto. We're better than what we've been playing right now. Let's regroup. Let's focus on who's available to us, not dwell on who's not, and just get ourselves ready to play. I mean, the messaging is going to be important, but I think the ultimate player-to-player accountability for the guys who are there, not for Tatis, you know, they'll deal with him however they're going to deal with him, the players, because he's not going to be hanging around. But this is going to come down to how do the guys who are still in uniform address each other with this? How do they let each other be disappointed or frustrated? And how do they rally together to forget that, put it aside, and go out there and put the best game on the field?
Steve, before we let you go, maybe a quick thought on Chris Woodward getting fired in Texas. I know it's an underwhelming season, but was he given enough of a roster to succeed there?
No. No, I mean, I love Marcus Semien and Corey Seager signings, but John Gray was their best pitcher, and he's pitched well for them. They just don't have, I mean, it was clear to me they didn't have the pitching to really compete. And so I think it's interesting to always try to figure out, like, what goes into the logic of a change like this. Typically, from my experience, it becomes procedure, it becomes preparation, it becomes how are we addressing the things that we need to improve upon. So that we're at least getting better. Even if we're not winning, are we getting better? And look, Chris Woodward's a good baseball guy. He's going to land on his feet. I don't know if he'll get another managing job, but he'll be a coach on somebody's team and a special assistant somewhere. But I don't think that they, you know, not knowing what was going on behind the scenes, but I will tell you that their roster was not good enough to be a playoff team, not even close. And so if they thought that, man, then it's really unfair to him because there's no chance. I think I don't know anybody who picked them to be a playoff team.
No,
I do think they've got some young talent heading in the right direction. But you know, they're going to have somebody else leading the way.
Steve, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure as always, guys.
Steve Phillips joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. Yes, guys, red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Love how you threw in a yes guy there.
I'm trying to get a free pair of tires, a set of four tires out of
them. Oh, yeah?
I'm giving them a little massage, and hopefully the tires end up at my place and not at Hayes's.
Hopefully the appropriate people are listening right now.
That's right. Well, yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. What time did you get to the studio today? Because if you and I are doing a Leaf game, and the Leaf game starts at 7,
yeah,
we're on the air at 6:30.
Right.
You're at the rink. You're there before 4:30.
That's right. Today I was here at 2:35.
Okay. And that's just all prep for you? Like you're in the cubicle, you got the computer going?
I like to go at a leisurely pace. I like to think about stuff. I'm driving. I got to know where Frankie's going to do this. I got to
Yeah, leisurely. What, like Del Boca Vista leisurely? Or?
just leisurely. I took the 407 today, so we just didn't want the stress of trying to figure out where the concrete trucks were.
Yeah, make sure you send your receipt in, okay?
No, that's a write-off.
Oh,
CRA is listening. That is a legitimate write-off.
You don't even know what a write-off is, Jerry.
Well, I do.